Take the Long Way Home, and Our Flag Means Death, Podfic, written by Stereobone, read by Myfic. The rating's explicit, the pairings Blackbeard and Steed. When Steed finally finds Ed, the man's about to attack a Spanish naval ship, so things are worse than he anticipated. Steed rows his dinghy up against the side of the Revenge and bangs his oars against the ship frantically. Beautiful woodwork be damned. Attacking a Spanish naval ship? Is Ed trying to get himself killed? Someone throw down a ladder! It's... Oh my fucking God! Izzy says, head popping over the side of the ship. Oh, Izzy, Steed says. Toss me down the ladder, would you? Where's Ed? Frenchie's head also pops over the side of the ship. Captain? He says. Hi. Hi there, Frenchie. Steed waves uselessly in front of him. Ladder? Anyone? No way is anyone tossing you down a fucking ladder, Izzy says, just as Frenchie lets down the rope ladder for him. Hey! Much obliged, Steed says. It isn't until he climbs up that Steed realizes how different his ship is. His old ship, that is. She sustained a lot of damage in the month it's taken for Steed to find them all. Cannonballs battering and splintering from battles. And there's no sense of it being his ship anymore. He doesn't know how to describe it. The feeling is gone, like someone came and sucked the love away. Then Steed sees the flag, and Bleeding Heart is less than subtle. Something in his chest pangs. Oh, Steed says, that's... He spins around. Where's Ed? You can't attack the Spanish Navy. It's suicide. Blackbeard is in his quarters getting ready to attack, as he says, teeth clenched. And this is what he's ordered. He doesn't look happy about it, though. No one does. Jim is huddled in the corner, looking every bit the hostage instead of a crew member. At least they're alive. Ollie will be happy to hear that. Steed looks over the horizon, where the Spanish naval ship is slowly coming closer. They don't have to do this. Ed doesn't have to do this. No, he says. I'm captain of this ship, and I'm ordering you to stop this, right now. Something crashes behind him. Steed turns and sees the broken rum bottle on the deck. Then he sees Ed. He recognizes him as much as he doesn't. The month's beard growth, the smearing of coal around his eyes. He looks like he hasn't slept properly since Steed last saw him, hasn't been eating. God, he looks terrible. And he's watching Steed like he's some sort of ghost. Ed, Steed says, and that seems to snap him out of it. Ed stumbles back, shakes his head, and looks to Izzy. What is this? Boss, it's... What kind of fuckery is this? Ed says and draws his gun. Steed throws his hands up and, oh God, this isn't how he thought this would go. He didn't imagine Ed would just shoot him on sight. He squeezes his eyes shut and waits for the shot, only none comes. When Steed dares to open his eyes again, Ed is still in the same position, gun drawn, but now he looks horrified. Steed realizes that something is terribly wrong. Ed finally lowers his gun. Veer the course, Izzy, he says. Call off the attack. Then he goes back down. Steed makes to follow him and is surprised to find Jim stopping him. I'm not doing this for him because he's like a total dick now, Jim says. But he thought you were dead. What?
We all did,
they say. That doesn't make any sense. How could Ed think he was? Then he understands. The fuckery. Ed must have gotten word of his fuckery and thought it was real. He really, really made a mess of things. He's got to fix this. Steed pats Jim's hand. It's good to see them again, their calloused hands and their permanent scowl. I need to talk to him. Maybe give him a minute. Steed sighs, looks back at the flag. Oh, he really made a mess of things. He nods to Frenchie. Did you sew that? Frenchie nods. He looks around, clearly uncomfortable. What's wrong with you? Steed says. Frenchie scratches absently at the back of his head. Well, Your name is sort of banned from the ship, he says. Or, like, anything about you. I feel like talking to you is a violation. Well, that's a bit hurtful, Steed says. You broke his heart, Fang calls from the crow's nest. Steed grimaces and leans into Jim. How long should I give Ed? Jim shrugs. An hour? I don't know. I don't do feelings and shit. Steed gives him 2 hours. He's been searching for a month. He figures another 2 hours for Ed to take in the news that he's not actually dead is the least he can give him. In the meantime, Steed catches up with Jim and Frenchie. They tell him what it's been like on the ship for the past month, which is essentially awful from what Steed gathers. Izzy nearly lost another toe. No one can find Lucius. They've brutalized 4 ports and 2 ships and barely had enough food to go around because Ed has kept them all so busy. Steed lets them know that the rest of the crew is safe in St. Augustine for now. How'd you get them off that little island? Frenchie says. We all piled on the dinghy like circus performers, intricately stacked.
Really?
No, you fool, Jim says. That was a bit of humour to cut the tension, Steed says. No, I had to painstakingly take everyone off, 1 man at a time. It was horrifying. Oh, Frenchie says. Steed eyes the doors that Ed disappeared through. It's time. When he looks back at Jim and Frenchie, they both nod approvingly. Good luck, Captain, Frenchie says. Yeah, you can't fuck it up any more than you already have, says Jim. That was encouraging, Steed says. I think. He knocks, because that seems like the polite thing to do. He's the gentleman pirate, after all. And Jim was right. He's fucked up, apparently on a massive scale. He wants to make this right. He has to make this right. Steed waits for Ed to beckon him inside, but there's no answer. He knocks again. Nothing. He tries the door and finds it unlocked, so he decides to enter. Steed's breath feels knocked from his chest when he walks into his old quarters. Everything is gone. There's just the antique table in the middle of the room, the chair, empty bottles strewn about. Steed touches his first stab wound without thinking. He can't breathe properly. The room feels so dark, cold. He calls out Ed's name into the room. It sounds hollow. It takes a moment for Ed to appear from behind one of the tattered curtains, eyes still hidden behind circles of coal. Steed wants nothing more than to run to him, embrace him, kiss him. He loves him. But Ed keeps his distance, and Steed finds he can't move. Ed, he says, I'm so... Ed throws an empty bottle at him. It hits his shoulder and bounces off before rolling along the floor and coming to a stop at the other end of the room, hitting the wall with a hollow clink. Ow, Steed says. What the devil was that for? So you're not a ghost, Ed says. No, Steed says. Then again, softer. No, I'm very much alive. I'm sorry you heard about that before I found you. Ed finally steps forward. His movements are all animal, boneless, like he's sizing Steed up. Then he hops onto the table and just stares. Steed wishes there were a sofa or something so he could sit down and not feel so picked apart. Fang's old shipmates passed by. Said you were attacked by a fat cat. A fat cat? Like a house cat? It was a leopard, actually, but... Then trampled by a carriage. Steed grimaces. And oh yeah, someone dropped a pianoforte on you, Ed says. Steed wishes he had more clothing on suddenly, purely to hide behind. He feels exposed, but he supposes that was the point. He's not hiding anymore. He clears his throat. It was a fuckery, he says. It doesn't matter what it was. The point is that I did it to be free. Ed, I was a fool not to meet you at dawn that day. I got hung up and... Well, the details don't altogether matter. What matters is I was afraid. But I'm not afraid any more. I'm sorry. Please. He rounds the table and gets as close to Ed as he thinks the man will allow right now. Steed wants to take him to the bath and wash the coal from his eyes and kiss him for days. Ed stares at him, his eyes black.
I'm Blackbeard, Ed says, and the past is dead.
Steed feels his heart drop to his feet. He takes a few numb steps backward. Is this it? This can't be the end, can it? He expects something, some traumatic horror from his past, to come creeping into his consciousness and make him run away. But there's nothing. Nothing comes. All Steed sees, all he thinks of, is Ed. Edward Teach, who truly looks moments away from stabbing him. Steed isn't running away from this. He glances around his old quarters. Obviously they did some redecorating while he was away. Not to his taste, but he supposes he can't control everything. When he first came in, he thought that all trace of him had been thrown away. Now he sees that Ed has kept the lighthouse painting. He stares at the shelf below it, then back to Ed. Where are all the books? Ed shrugs. Tossed them. Steed purses his lips. All those classics, William Shakespeare, that beautiful paper, ruined. You toss them?
Yep.
I see, yes, so you tossed everything of mine then? Ed says nothing. Steed walks over to the lighthouse painting. He hears Ed shift on the desk behind him, leather creaking. Without looking back, Steed reaches up and brushes a hand over the painting. The paint is still rough under his fingertips. He looks over at Ed. You forgot about this, he says.
Wanted a painting,
Ed says.
Nothing wrong with keeping a painting, and don't touch my stuff.
Steed shrugs. Suppose not. I wonder what else you forgot. He grabs the frock coat lever on the shelf and pulls it down.
I said don't touch my fucking stuff.
Ed jumps off the table and rushes him, but it's too late. The hidden passage is open. Steed shrieks and slips inside, right into all of his clothes. All of them, meticulously hung, some with streaks of coal on them, as if someone had held them to their face in secret. Steed exhales sharply, just as Ed runs into him and they both stumble into the passage. Ed, Steed says, turning around, I'm so sorry. Ed is breathing heavy, like he's just been in a fight. He looks terrifying, anger personified. His teeth are clenched.
Steed,
he says, and it's the first time he's said his name. You fucking... Then he starts crying. He pitches forward, head on Steed's shoulder, and sobs. Steed wraps his arms around Ed's shoulders and lets him, just holds him while he shakes like that, wetting Steed's shirt. Ed grabs hold of Steed's waist and squeezes tight, because he thought Steed didn't want to go with him, because he thought Steed didn't like him, because he thought Steed was dead. It's all right, Steed says. It's okay. He doesn't know how long they stay like that. Must be quite a while, because he gets a cramp in his leg, which he ignores. Eventually, Ed stops crying and stands upright, wipes at his eyes, which are a right mess. Steed is sure he's got coal all over his shirt, but he finds that he doesn't care, even if it is a very breathable linen. He runs a soothing hand down Ed's arm. What do you say to a nice bath, hm? Ed nods, sniffling. Then he opens the passage door.
Izzy! He screams out. I need some fucking bathwater, you fucking dog!
Later, Steed helps him into the bath and washes the coal from his eyes with a washcloth. Ed lets himself be taken care of. He's got some newly healing wounds on his arms and abdomen that Steed takes special care around and hands Ed the cloth when he needs to wash lower than that. This is the first time Steed has seen him naked. It doesn't feel odd at all. It feels right. Ed keeps looking at him, then away. Hunched up in the tub, looking less and less like Blackbeard, and more like Ed. His Ed. Your beard is coming back in nicely, Steed says. Ed runs his wet fingers through it. Yeah, I reckon so. Felt kind of naked without it, to be honest. Can't really be Blackbeard without it. Ed nods slowly. He's thinking about something, but he doesn't say anything else. Steed reaches out and squeezes his hand. He wants to kiss him, but he doesn't know if that's okay yet. It is only really just starting to look like himself again. I'll let you finish up and get dressed, yeah? Ed nods again. He's waiting for Ed at the table when Izzy comes in, looking grumpy as usual and disappointed. Steed kicks his feet up on the table and doesn't bother with pleasantries. I suppose you were delighted when you heard that I was dead, he says. You're not wrong, Izzy says, until Edward started to lose his fucking mind. He leans against the woodwork by the unlit fireplace, sizing Steed up. I suppose I should be thanking you, showing up when you did, otherwise we'd all be dead right now. Could have mutinied, Steed says. Or would he have fed you another toe? Death has made you very brash, Steed Bonnet. Izzy cranes his neck, presumably to make sure Ed isn't about to walk in. He killed the boy, you know. The one who kept your journal. Steed blinks. Lucius? That's the one. At his age, would we really refer to him as a boy, or... Does that matter? Izzy clenches his fists. Ed killed him. He's not who you think he is. Steed sweeps his feet off the table and stands upright. He takes out his gun and points it straight at Izzy. Get out, he says. Izzy straightens, fingers curled at his side by his gun, itching to grab it. He bares his teeth. You're not the captain of this ship, and now you're threatening the first mate. Ask me if I give a toss, Steed says. Get out. Izzy looks like he's seriously considering going for his gun, which means Steed would have to shoot him. He'd do it, too, though he's not confident in his aim, and it'd be a shame to put a bullet hole in any of this fine woodwork, but needs must. Then they hear Ed's footsteps. Izzy growls and turns away, leaving in a rush of black leather and anger. Steed sags in relief and puts his gun away, just as Ed comes back in the room, towel around his neck. What was all that yelling about? Oh, Ed, Steed says. Thank God, I... Ed is dressed in his cashmere robe, hair loose and still a bit damp, no trace of coal around his eyes. He looks beautiful. Steed suddenly wants to cry, and he realizes that he's starting to, because Ed rushes to him, concern colouring his expression. Hey, hey, Steed, what is it? Steed grabs Ed's shoulders. The cashmere feels wonderful. Ed feels wonderful. Ed, he says, did you kill Lucius? Ed rears back like he's been struck. He breaks eye contact with Steed, face shutting down. It feels like he's shrinking back again. Steed grabs for him, pulls him back. Ed still unable to make eye contact. I tossed him overboard, he says. Ed, I killed him, Steed. Ed, I'm the Kraken. Ed, I love you. Ed clicks his mouth shut. His eyes have popped wide. It looks like no one has ever said that to him before. Maybe they haven't. Certainly no one has ever said it to Steed. And maybe this wasn't the perfect time, but he needs Ed to know that he loves him, and nothing is going to change that, not even killing Lucius. He's so angry at him for it, but he still loves him. Ed swallows and attempts to speak. Steed, he manages. Not to ruin this moment... But I'm not actually dead, and I'd really like to come out of hiding, because I think I might be getting scurvy, and I need an orange, like yesterday, someone says. Ed and Steed both look around wildly, at the ceiling, the floor, the walls, then at each other, bewildered. Finally, the hidden passage on the left opens, and out comes Lucius, very much alive, although very skinny and very dirty. He keeps himself against the wall and waves timidly. Steed's mouth drops open. Ta-da! Lucius says. Oh my God, the boy's alive, says Ed. Again, at his age, would we call him a boy? Steed says. You're not going to try and kill me again, right? Lucius asks. I had to climb up the side of the boat and ripped off like all my fingernails. I've been hiding in the passageways for a month, but I figured now that Steed's back. Ed surprises all of them by going over and hugging Lucius. He claps him on the back and Lucius coughs, looks to Steed in confusion. Steed just shrugs helplessly.
No, mate, no, Ed says. God, I'm stoked you're alive. Seriously, go get an orange, stave off the scurvy. Great fucking news all round.
He walks Lucius over to Steed and shakes him. Look at him, alive, wooden finger and all.
Help me, Lucius says.
Steed gently pulls him from Ed's grip and instructs him to go get an orange. Hell, get two oranges and something else to eat. Lucius skitters to the door, but glances back at them before he goes.
Captain, I'm really glad you're back, he says. Then he's gone.
Steed stares wistfully at the door for a moment. This has gone better than he expected. He could cry again knowing that Lucius is alive. Ed didn't kill him. He still hasn't killed anyone since his father, and he can keep to that if he wants. Steed suspects that he probably does. Steed exhales, smiles, hands on his hips.
Well, he says, turning, that went better than I ever.
It is not where Steed had left him. He's by the mantel, staring at the painting of the lighthouse. Steed's smile softens. He joins Ed, dares to brush shoulders with him, delighted when Ed leans against him.
Doubloon for your thoughts? He asks.
Ed stares at the painting like he's about to set it on fire. Finally, he turns to Steed, soft-eyed, defences down, so clearly relieved.
I keep the painting as a reminder, he says.
Oh, Steed says, of me?
Nah, a reminder that feelings just make you get cracked up on the rocks.
Oh, says Steed with less enthusiasm.
But now I'm thinking that's not right at all, Ed says.
He grabs the painting off the mantel and holds it out, examines it, as if he hasn't been staring at it daily for the past month.
Steed looks too. It really is a lovely painting. Mary's a wonderful painter.
You can't run away from your feelings, Ed says, or you'll throw people off boats and wear your eyeliner all smeared and attack a Spanish naval ship hoping to just die because the person you love is gone.
Love? Steed says, looking up.
Yeah, Ed says. I think...
Steed kisses him.
It's a bit awkward, considering there's a painting of a lighthouse in between them, but also it's perfect.
Ed kisses him back, and the painting clatters to the floor below, and Steed kicks the stupid thing out of the way. Sorry, Mary.
He pulls Ed closer to him, has to feel Ed against him right now. And that cashmere really is rather exquisite. Feels great against his skin. But not as great as Ed feels, and that's all Steed wants to feel.
He pulls the robe open and runs his hand along Ed's skin, lips to lips, eyes closed. Then he pulls back.
Oh, God, he says.
Ed stumbles after him, looking a bit dazed. Hair must, robe open. He's got nothing on underneath it. Steed blushes.
Oh, God, is this okay?
What? Ed says.
I was getting rather carried away there, is that...
Ed grabs his hands and puts them back around his waist.
Yes, he says.
Oh, God,
Steed thinks. Then he kisses Ed again.
He runs his hands up Ed's chest, over his nipples, feels Ed breathe shakily into his mouth and grab tighter to him.
They walk backwards together to the bed. Steed's shirt is removed, and it was ruined anyway.
Ed attaches his mouth to his shoulder and bites down gently, like he just have to have something, anything in his mouth.
Steed kisses Ed's neck in return until they hit the mattress and topple onto it. The robe flutters to the floor, forgotten. Ed is kneeling on the mattress, completely naked, unashamed. Steed reaches out and touches the puckered scar on the left side of his stomach, feels his muscles twitch.
Edward, he says.
Then he tackles him back onto the mattress and expects Ed to protest, but Ed just kisses him harder.
Wait, hold on, he says. Get your scratchy breeches off.
These are made from a very fine fabric, thank you, Steed says, but he's already undoing the laces.
Reach into the drawer down there. There's oil.
Ed cocks a brow, but does as he's told. By the time Steed is naked, Ed is back on the mattress with a jar of oil, legs spread, cock hard, and Steed doesn't know if he's going to survive this.
Ed smiles at him, easy, like he's up for anything.
What do you want, love?
Love. Steed leans forward and kisses him again.
Just you, he says. Also, I've, never done this sort of thing with a man before.
Really?
Ed says. Awfully fresh of you to say that.
So shut me up, Ed says.
Steed does. He kisses him, and finally presses their bodies together. It feels earth-shatteringly good. Their kisses become messy and uncoordinated as they start rutting against one another, hands roaming along skin, Ed's hair spilled all over the pillow, Steed moaning into his mouth. It's unbelievable. After a while, Steed realizes that Ed is saying something into his mouth between kisses, clinging to him. He pulls back, panting. Fuck me, Ed says. And Steed does. Slowly, with Ed on his back, opening him up one finger at a time, terribly afraid he'll do something wrong, and also amazed that he's able to do this at all, that he found Ed in this whole ocean, and he's going to keep him. After a time, Ed nods frantically and tells him it's enough. It's enough. It's good. He's good. And Steed slides his fingers out and fucks into him, Ed's legs, hitched up over his shoulders. Ed looks exquisite when he's being fucked, eyes closed, head thrown back, chest heaving. Steed already knows he isn't going to last long. Ed shifts his hips and Steed slides just that much deeper, feels Ed squeeze down against him. He could drown like this. He thinks he is. Something is building fast and devastating in his pelvis. Oh, God, Steed says. You feel like...
Don't say of fabric.
Home, Steed says, before he can stop himself. Then he buries his face in Ed's neck and comes. Ed is panting and moaning around him, and Steed feels like it all happened far too fast, embarrassingly fast, but Ed is looking at him adoringly. That makes Steed feel brave enough to take Ed's cock into his mouth. He thinks it surprises them both when Ed comes very hard down his throat. Oh, fuck. Oh, God, Ed says. Steed swallows and wonders if there's a handkerchief around, but Ed wipes his mouth for him with his hand, then kisses him sweet before curling up around him on the bed, sheets pulled over them. Steed runs a soothing hand up and down his arm. Ed's beard tickles his chest a bit, but he doesn't mind. Are you all right? He asks.
More than, Ed says. Haven't been buggered like that before. Haven't been buggered like that ever.
Steed's face rushes so hot he thinks he's gotten a fever. Ed laughs against him.
You're blushing, aren't you?
No, I... Ed looks up and kisses him. That's when Izzy waltzes into the room.
Bosh, you're not going to believe this. That boy Lucius is alive. He... Oh my God!
They're on their way to St. Augustine when Steed remembers what he has for Ed. That was how he knew he was on the right track. He finds the item still tucked in the back pocket of his breeches. Thankfully, it didn't get lost earlier when he and Ed were preoccupied. Steed walks over to where Ed is leaning over the deck rail, back in his leathers, but looking more at ease than Steed has ever seen him, the sea breeze blowing his hair back. Ed, he says, I...
Oi, Ivan calls out. Izzy wants to know if you'll let him swim for his life, or... What's that? Okay, I'll tell them. Or tie him up somewhere the seagulls will stop pecking at his nose.
Steed considers this. What do you think, Ed? Should we let him go?
Nah, Ed says. Can't trust him. I don't know how to tell you this, Steed, but I don't think he likes you very much.
Righto, Steed says, then yells back. Tell him to buck up, or I'll cut his fucking nose off.
Ivan gives a thumbs up. Steed joins Ed at the rail, their shoulders just touching. In front of them is endless blue. The clouds up ahead are pepper black, rough seas coming, but Steed isn't concerned at all.
What was it you were trying to tell me? Ed says.
Steed pulls the swatch of silk from his back pocket and holds it out, stark red against the blue backdrop of the ocean. He hears Ed's breath hitch, watches him reach out with shaking hands to take it back. Ed presses the red silk against his face without a care as to who's watching, eyes slipping closed. It's roughened now from the salt water, but none of that matters. Steed wonders who gave Ed such a thing. He thinks one day Ed will tell him. Hold on to your nice things, Steed says.
Ed reaches out and grabs Steed's hand. Yeah, he says. I will. The end. You can find other works by Stereobone on the archive of our own,